Good evening. Tonight is July 29th, 2017. And tonight we're here gathered at the Rosenkreutz Institute for our ninth lecture in our series, Enlightenment and Illumination. In these lectures, we've presented to our students of the school some insights into the spirit of the modern age. And this spirit is an essential forming in the cosmos, an essential atmosphere, you might say, that is pouring over the earth as a healing for the human beings that are on the path of discipleship and the Rosicrucian path of spiritually unfolding in our age. It's important for us to point this out and to take this into our hearts, to feel the healing of this spirit of truth. In the opening lines of The Chemical Wedding, there, Christian Rosenkreutz talks about the healing from the Father of Light. And this is something that he quotes, something that the author has quoted from James chapter 1:17. Where he speaks of the Father of Lights. And this is an important spirit because he adds to it the description of that spirit, which is the spirit of truth. And we've tried to show you that this path of the spirit of truth has a lot of importance for us. We've elaborated on this subject in the Gospels. We just have a few lines here and there. And we've also been able to connect for you the Father of Lights in our series, which represents for us the generative aspect. And so as our enlightenment and our illumination is, in other teachings, a personal thing, we want to add to that it's a cultural thing. And it's a cultural thing really situated correctly, which is within the precincts of the souls of those human beings that take up a spiritual teaching in our modern age, such as you have. We leave a legacy upon this earth, breathing out of an etheric atmosphere. And this etheric atmosphere then allows higher spiritual beings to incarnate through our earth and into our earth. So the atmosphere changes all around us. The atmosphere changes everywhere. So your work as students of this school, your work in the world has been to carry this spirit as seeds of consciousness. The more you carry the seeds of this consciousness into the earthly world, the earthly atmosphere, the more other human beings can feel this particular health-giving atmosphere. Now it's really an elixir too. An elixir, you might say, that has been poured out for those people that feel an affinity to this school and this teaching. But then it also extends to those human beings that are seeking to love and help each other. So it extends itself in that way. So we can feel and sense it. If we open our spiritual eyes, we can look past. If you can look past your thoughts, we can look past our personality, look past the thoughts that are within that personality, and we can extend ourselves to see something really truly remarkable that's happening in our world. And just like light that illumines a field or a mountain, or to bring the sunshine of the morning that illumines the earth space, so we can feel that this particular spirit is a moving spirit in the sense that it moves into the environment of the earth, and it inspires people, it gives them hope. When there is no hope and human beings feel quite lost, and this is quite an easy thing actually, because the way our thinking is organized, it's easy for anyone to become enchanted by their own thoughts, to hypnotize themselves about any number of different things. You can watch a movie and suddenly there's a thought in there that sparks something within you. Often it's for a good thing, and we hope it is. But sometimes you get something of an ill wind out of it. And this is not really very good. We have to pay attention to the fact that what emanates from these works of art also changes moods and moods of soul to such an extent that our students can become affected by this. And not only our students, but other humans that watch these things and fall into the hands and grips of those enchanting beings. What is it that these beings really want? Well, that's another thing, another subject, but we can give you some highlights of it. They want to take from you your spirit, and they want to drink it for themselves. They want to drink it in. They want to suck it in. Your spirit can easily be multiplied and given to other human souls, and that's where it should go in the proper sense. But you know, all of our students know, they've become acquainted with this, that people are somehow blinded through some powers in the world, perhaps karmic powers. And we're not going to go into that here. We're not going to justify any of this either. What's important to realize is that when people have the opportunity in front of them, it is also a spiritual gift. And the spiritual beings, they notice these things. This work has taken a lot of centuries, a lot of karma to build. And that means that when it passes in front of human souls, it's important for human souls to awaken to it. The reason is because this is the transformation. This is the trumpet. This is the sounding of that trumpet. And in that transforming power, it feels within itself its truth and justification as it flows into our own soul life. So enlightenment that follows with it, that forms with it, also creates within it this beautiful downpouring of the spirit that fills with strength the body, and the soul is the carrier of this. The soul knows. The soul begins to recognize this is the true spirit, and it doesn't any longer play a chance with it. It begins to push out of itself and use as much vigor and will that it needs in order to push out of the soul the corrupting forces, the darkening forces, the dullening forces, all of these things. What that means is a lot of times our students have to curtail their imbibing of stimulants, or also to watch and be careful of things that are of a dissolving nature, things that perhaps for other people are very important and very good, things like depressive drugs and other different types of remedies that people have to take in our modern age because of the stresses. The stresses that are there. Our students are recommended, of course, to take as few stimulants as possible in order to keep the soul as strong within itself as possible. When we are able to do this on our own, then we have literally copied from the worlds of nature the things we need. And this is the important stage to contemplate. We're always learning and taking into ourselves something out of nature and, if possible, improving upon it. It's also such that our will to improve upon the thoughts that other people give us is also something that the spirit gives us will and insight to do. Now, if we're not competitive in the sense of destroying other people, especially when it comes to the community that we want to build, it's important to have a heart, to develop heart and feelings for others. If you feel that you've done enough, That's great. Then you add to it. That's something you can build upon. It's a foundation. And into this, we're talking about our soul. Into this, we're pouring strength and we're pouring morality. Now, this morality that we're talking about is living or life. Morality that's just a concept of the good is not good enough. It has to be that we feel that the responsibility of our lives together has created a lightness between us, something of a buoyancy, something of a feeling of connection that is not burdensome. And I feel that, I feel within myself, the student says, I feel within myself, this is how I know the path is right and true for me, because it gives me that strength to rise above the world. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't enter down into the earth and do very important things in regards to practical things. And we accomplish those. We think them out. Then with that technique of planning and envisioning, we go about our work. And so the enlightenment of the soul takes with it, and builds within us, gives us the opportunity to have all these extras come with it, which is inner structure. The inner structure of the soul that is strong, that is also courageous, virtuous. When you set these before you, that virtue in your language, in your speaking, you have to look into your thoughts. You have to look into your feelings. Are you truly expressing the purest that you can? And if you feel that you can do better, that's one thing. That's good. You put that in motion. And when you accomplish it, then also there comes with it a strengthening of the body, a strengthening of the soul, feeling that the spirit loves you. This is really important, because love when the spirit comes to you is inspiration as well as imagination. And it gives you intuition, gives you insight. You'll be dreaming some moment and something of a very high nature perhaps comes into your soul and you feel it. You can sense, here is something really warm and true because it feels true. You can let go of thoughts. Before, perhaps you might have thought to yourself, I need these thoughts and this is the way I must think. And now you become much more versatile. You're able to lay thoughts off and even empty yourself completely of that thought life, and still feel that you're full and rich in content. This is an important observation that we make, that I've made, and I want to give it to you, is that really the thought content of our souls is a preoccupation of the modern man. He feels in a way of a certain form of insignificance. So he fills his soul with certain forms of thought that actually press out of himself the spirit. To truly have the spirit, one often can understand that the thoughts have to be cleared out. Then in that clearing, the soul can feel the inspirations. It can feel the direction of them. It can feel them like a beam of light. It can feel them like a sound that's coming. Maybe not quite there yet, but we feel this is the direction to point ourselves. And so in our enlightened inner space, in the enlightenment of our inner being, we feel there is plenty of things that occupy our consciousness and give us direction, navigation, experience of balance, inner balance. Take some emotions that bothered you before and put them into yourself in more or less an experimental way. See what you can do with them. See how they put you off balance or keep you in balance. Learn you can observe in this way how thoughts are connected or emanate or have emanated or have a direction of certain organs. That's right, my friends. Certain organs emanate thoughts, and you can feel how the thoughts have an affinity for certain organs. You can feel that here is a certain thought, this is emanating from my lungs. Here's a certain thought, this is emanating from my hands or my wrist. These observations are extremely important, very subtle, and very, very sensitive people can feel the workings of these. This will lead the student into understanding what is the flowing of the etheric nature, flowing warmth body. Now, for a clairvoyant, I can tell you this, that the circulation of the blood as it flows in the veins is one form of circulation, but there's also a circulation of air warmth. Air warmth, my friends, yes, it does. It circulates around the body just as much as the blood does. And inside of this air warmth, there is in the human soul, for a clairvoyant to observe, in this particular aspect of the soul life, there are the thought pictures. There are the feeling pictures. There are the will pictures. One notices these things. And especially is it interesting to notice how people, they are oblivious to this. To a clairvoyant, it circles around a human being as visibly as if you had a chimney stack that was billowing out smoke. And inside of the smoke, there would flash forth certain pictures. Often, a human being is full of these dark, billowing clouds. These clouds that puff and smoke out of the human being. So I hope you, as students of the spirit, are much more taciturn in the future and become aware of the fact that these things, to a sensitive person, are very, very visible. And it is important for you, if you think to yourself, I like to wear clean clothes, I like to look clean. I like to look dressed. I like to look where my hair is combed and things like that. And it is the same with what bellows forth out of the human being. If you become conversant with the sound ether and then the warmth ether that flows with that sound ether and the circulations that come with these things in the etheric nature, back and forth they go between the organs, back and forth into the hands and out. It's very interesting to notice how they flow in and out in certain areas of our body, just like as if they're were vessels there. But these are vessels of our soul creation, and they are very specifically created in certain channels to feel the warmth body flowing out into the atmosphere. And working in that atmosphere also leads our students to understand here is the interactive portion of the soul with the cosmic world. And the cosmic world that is working there, is working there just as vigorously as you might say a rose in bloom is working in a garden. Now you can imagine how important it is to have the garden with the rose. What happens in the garden, you can feel how the structures of the atmosphere, those very delicate structurings of cool air breezes and warm air breezes, are very important to the insect life and very important to other creatures that are sensitive to this. But even so, more importantly to the flowers, more importantly to the plants. So this is a very, very important observation that we make of this. And this is we are able through our soul life, if we can illumine that soul, to follow these illuminations right into the world and kingdoms of nature around the developing human soul. The reason why this is visible and so vigorously visible to our students is because the activation of the etheric nature is also going to affect the atmosphere around the house of the students of the spirit. It will actually hover around the plants and the animal creatures that are connected to those plants. Creatures are sensitive to these emanations. These emanations give to these animals a certain feeling of stability. So we say when it's recorded in the Gospels or in James or in the other works of the Gospels where it talks about the children of light, imagine what it's like. These children of light are actually forming in the kingdoms of nature. So when we studied, or if you haven't studied, I hope you get the course, the courses on the chemical wedding, the emanations into the world of nature is to stimulate nature as well, to get on with that creative process, which then reciprocates to the human soul that is developing as well. So your participation in that crystallizing power of the spirit, that which we see of that can create proteins in the world, proteins that are able to form soundings and also to attract to themselves heat and warmth. I don't know if you realize it, but protein sucks into itself, is able to suck into itself powers out of the cosmic worlds in a very vigorous way. Proteins are designed, have this amazing design to breathe in. So if you were to look for the first processes of the cosmos, how did the cosmos begin to become a living organism, then you have to see those particular things in relationship to protein. Protein is what breathes in the warmth, loves to breathe it in. You can see this when you think of what creates that concentration of sugar, that which may form into a globule, something of a globe, something of a planet, a cheese ball, you might say. This same forming force is also that which draws into it or breathes into itself that atmosphere which creates fruits of our earth. Many of the fruits are produced in a very mysterious way, but when we feel how the soul works, how the body works, and how the cosmos seeks to encircle the soul life, then we can see in a visible way what works there in external nature, and also something that gives us insights into what our own nature, our own bodily nature is like. These creative forces and these creative powers, to bring them under your command, to bring them into yourself, takes insight and enlightenment and illumination. To study in a scientific book about these things will give you thoughts, and to illumine those thoughts and to shed light upon those thoughts allows you to go into the cosmic worlds and to examine them. But you, as a developing student of the spirit, your soul emanates the very thing, very substances for which you're going to be examining. So you're in intimate relationship to it. So the worlds of nature are in a certain perception of your own spiritual creations. And so when we study the alchemical wedding, and I recommend again that you take this up earnestly, in earnest, and that is that the whole goal of alchemy is to bring it about that we achieve something as earthly beings. Now, up until time of the alchemists, it was not fashionable for human beings to study the external worlds of nature. It was more important to study the spiritual aspects of things, and only the spiritual aspects. And this legacy comes from very, very ancient times and very reputable sources too, the wise men of the East and so on and so forth. But those prophecies, which have to do with the Rosicrucian development, had to do with the unfolding of the human soul in the worlds and realms of nature, where the human soul was active again, an active participant upon the earth in a stronger way than previously. So the strengthening of the human soul, the resting of the human soul from the cosmic forces, the feeling that it had achieved its freedom, and now it had the power, or could generate the power within itself, to move to the next stage of its development. And so we're in that stage now. Students of the spirit that are called upon this stage, there, you might say, are the first fruits of this. So this is spoken of in the letter of James, chapter 1, verse 17. There you have the first fruits of the Father of Lights. This also has within it the phrase that the powers of the world, the elemental powers, are able to come to the human soul, the elemental powers. And it is also related in our chemical wedding that as students of the spirit, as students of this esoteric tradition, this Rosicrucian tradition, it is that your destiny is to harness the powers of fire, the beings of fire and light. And so that's why when we tell you this course on illumination and enlightenment, we are also relating you to the elements of the soul nature. So the Father of Lights that brings light, it's a father, this is a father of fire. So when you think to yourself, I'm going to go to that father of the fire and I'm going to get something from this, and what would you think you would get from it? Well, you would become active. And so it is that when a spiritual teaching such as ours goes into the world, you can see that this speaks to us and relates to us in the same way as the writer of The Chemical Wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz related it, where he speaks there that this Father of Light, this being, has taught him many things. Many things out of the elemental worlds of fire and the elements. It's important for us to feel what this really means to us. Even though this is just in an artistic way presented, in a poetic way, one could say it's also very real. When we speak of being children of something of grave importance for our world, and I want you to think, if you're studying and you're just getting some thoughts and you think that's pretty good and you've got some friends that have given them to you, this is also a good thing, isn't it? When people share knowledge, and in regards to feeling the connection, the generative connection to these things, here we have something much more profound, much more incredible than just knowledge all by itself. We have then the power and possibility of community. So what we see in the churches today often is a lot of emotionalism, but also there is that friendship and companionship. When this forms in our higher spiritual groupings, those higher spiritual groupings that have their lineage or base their lineage or their teaching, their hierarchy of teaching on something somewhat on the basis of Freemasonry, for instance, there we have the dissemination of symbols. And it's because of these symbols that the shorthand of knowledge, the shorthand versions of knowledge, come down to us so easily. A book full of symbols and lots and lots and lots of symbols, there we're looking at the ingredients of making the words of nature. So it is that the incredible power that's found in the emanations of the symbols of the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the alchemists of the previous 500 years. The writings are not as interesting as the pictures, the pictures that carry these immensely deep messages. So when a soul contemplates those things, it is a technique of the Rosicrucians to be able to decipher them. I can give you some hints about how to decipher them right now. And that is exactly as we were saying, you have to go past that personality that is involved in the present age. You can imagine that this personality is constantly called upon to think. Think about this and think about that. Constantly squeezed and purged and pushed in its thinking process. We feel very, very strongly within ourselves when we can respond with thoughts and lots of thoughts. And so people fire off their thoughts like as if they're shooting at a target, constantly shooting and shooting. But in a way, this is debilitating to the soul. This is a frightful thing if you could see it from the aspect of a clairvoyant. Because here, this is the very force, the very power, the very thing, the very action that prevents spiritual insights from forming in the soul. Now, spiritual insights are incredibly important, for here's what they reveal. Not only do they reveal knowledge, but they also bring with them your karma. You need to understand, as students of the Spirit, that your knowledge is much different. It's undergone a change. It's undergone changes over time. It is no longer the same as it used to be. It is a karma knowledge. You examine thoughts, and then you arrange those thoughts so that your karma forms. Sometimes you get a little upset in your stomach over these things, and you think to yourself, oh, I have to do this, and I have to do that. But I want to also point out to you something very significant in regards to this, and that is, you must notice this, that you are in control of that karma. That's the significant factor of it. You are really, truly in the most powerful, the most beautiful and glorious situation in height of spiritual development that can possibly, that reveals itself in the fact that your karma is transparently relating to you, that you can form over time the things you want to do, you lay them out, and it seems so easy for you. This is because you have achieved something really remarkable in the earth. And that is that the thoughts, the soul life, and the will have now been given to you for your creation of karma. This is a very, very, very sophisticated, high development for a human soul to have. To be able to form this karma, to form your karma along the lines of a school such as our school, is also something of a blessing, a very, very important blessing, because there you can feel how the thoughts turn upwards and they emanate or ray back into the cosmos, into the sun, into the stars, into the moon. These are extremely important emanations of our earth. The earth spirit rewards human souls, those human souls that are able to do this for the cosmos. This is the very thing that makes the spirit of nature to become appreciative of the developments that are in the earth by students of the Spirit, by the disciples of the Spirit, by those disciples that bring into the world in an ever-widening way and growing way the warmth of the heart, the insights of consciousness, the developments which bring it about that the Spirit lives within human souls in a healthy way. This also calls into us the forming of a certain health of soul. So we do not have to panic over our karma. We can lay our karma out and then organize things in such a way that things occur exactly in an order that we can pace, we can keep pace with, we can time them, we can give a rhythm to it, and it accommodates us and we can accommodate it. This is a remarkable achievement for the students of any spiritual school, and especially ours, which achieves this calm and respectable form. And other people notice this as well. Other human beings notice this, and the students of our spiritual school become respectable in the eyes of peers and also colleagues, higher colleagues, and those that are aspiring to the positions that the teachers and workers that work in the world with that carry into the world our spirit and the nature that goes with it. When we speak of the cosmic worlds and how cosmic worlds look down into our world, and they must find within our world souls just as sensitive as ours in our school. It is so that that sensitivity sends back into the cosmic world a sounding. When you hear crickets at night, or when you hear frogs, or when you hear the lowing of the cows in the fields, or the owls in the trees, all of these creatures are giving something back to the cosmic, into the space of the earth, into the cosmos, and it resounds upwards out of the earth. But what comes more or less silently, but yet in a very audible way from the human being, is the emanation of the powers of the soul, the emanation of the beauty of the soul or the glory of the soul. So as your souls have achieved this balance, this feeling of fortitude and courage, this feeling of being able to face the things of the earth, and then to feel in your meditations that now the spirit that is formed in front of your eyes also feels for you to be something inviting, something to be soft and harmonious, something of a living nature. The spiritual worlds are not just a theory for our students. The spiritual worlds are of a living substance, and this substance touches your soul when you seek to be impregnated with its content. When you want to feel it, you can breathe it into yourself, and you can adjust yourself to this higher spiritual nourishment that comes out of the atmosphere. And what is it that's coming out of that atmosphere or forming in that atmosphere? It is the interactive power of the alchemy of the students of the spirit. So our students of the spirit are fully enriched with the power that the spiritual beings have given into the substances insofar as they can do that. When the human beings take this further and it becomes a noticeable improvement within their own soul life in the atmosphere that then is created from them and is breathed back out into the environment, it is of an immense importance both for the social world of our earth and then to the reciprocal activity of the spirits in nature. So enlightenment and illumination, these things, these qualities are a full and rich area of the soul. These enrich and fulfill the soul. Enlightenment and illumination are not just concepts. They are an activity within the soul. As activities and creative activities at that, there we feel the power of our souls to be of a growing or a fading nature, all according to the will of the soul, or the will of the spirit, and the will of the cosmic worlds as well. We get, as a consequence of this, the students are able to ascertain through their reasoning what the cosmos did to the substance. And this speaks in the most interesting ways within the soul. So as we go down in our meditation, go down deeper and deeper, and listen into the depths of the human soul, one can hear and catch a glimpse of the inner vehicles of the human being that correspond to these powers to converse back and forth across the cosmic worlds. And there the soul is the place where these soundings can be heard. This provides the atmosphere. This provides the very space in order for the amplitude and the amplifications of these things to become possible. Just like we go into a cave when, for instance, maybe we want to sing in a certain way, we want to record an instrument. Well, it is also true that the organs of the human being provide special space, special forms of space for cosmic beings to speak in. When our love begins to mature and we begin to feel how the love of our life, our karma, is joining also with cosmic consciousness, that means that your conversations in the earth, the thoughts you think, the ideals that you have, the concepts that you want to grasp, also become like fruits on a tree. Also like food in a garden that's growing, like zucchini and squash and certain things like that. The human inner life begins to form itself in an ever-increasing way along the lines of the external fruits of the world and the colors of the world, and then to correspond to that inner nature. This is the most important part, to correspond also to the inner nature of the soul. The soul life of a human being, this is an important achievement. Now we divide that, as you know, the human soul, we divide it properly in the characteristics of age, of sexuality, and also of the maturity and social standings. In this way, we can feel how the truth or corruptions of the soul form in certain ways, and we can sort out what it is that is the karma, the destiny of certain thoughts, if we have certain configuration or character that we want to analyze and see. This is important for the education of spiritual beings that want to approach the human soul in order to understand it. The human soul needs to be understood both by himself and others, but also by the cosmic beings. Often it is that we find that when cosmic beings do not understand human beings, they prey upon them, they plague them, they prick them, they follow them around, and they scream inside of their souls. Now, if you have human friends that have these particular echoings within them, it is only there that will is collected into a human being, and then you begin to hear it. But actually, if you're paying attention and you're honest and truthful with these particular things, these particular senses, the content of this can be traced into the spiritual world, where it's in a much more diverse and diffused over into the atmosphere of the soul and the elemental worlds around a human soul. And so it is that we begin to understand the karma of individuals, how it collects into friends and then becomes the will forces there. So these truly are mysteries that all of our students of the Spirit need to solve at some time. We're just giving you some pointers here and some insights, the directions, some illumination of it, some enlightenment so that you can feel within yourself that you can achieve and understand these things too. This is a quickening of the human soul, a quickening of light within, a quickening of knowledge. So I want to leave you with these thoughts and these inspirations to give you that spark, that feel of the flame coming into you. So perhaps it is a darkness that lives within you, but with these sparks and these feelings and this consciousness alive like it is, no matter if you're isolated or alone or any of these things, by feeling how you can create the spirit, then the atmosphere, then you're soon on the path of your independence, the independence of your soul life to create content, nourishment, food, health, well-being, and to give yourself that opportunity to get the best from your life upon the earth, from your life as a bodily organized human being with an earthly karma, and then to proceed all the way to the glorification of that body and that karma through an understanding of your spiritual connections, both to the Father of Light or the mothers and children of the Light, all of these things, the etheric children, the etheric elemental beings, the etheric fire beings, the water beings and the air beings that we've just described, and even to the soundings of the earth beings. Thank you tonight for listening to this ninth lecture in our series, Enlightenment and Illumination.